this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
Podcasters, always listen to Strongest Voice, Ben's podcast. Eric and Kevin agree. Follow Ben's voice.
Kevin only takes. Speak when spoken to.
Podcast, human work, human.
Kevin, pick butt.
Where, no. Chim-chim? Where, chim-chim? Speed, take, chim-chim.
Where, James Franco?
Die, Simeon flew.
James Franco
fault. My bad. We're talking Dawn of the Planet of the Apes on the Pod of Dreams.
Yours, I want to protect mine. It's our only chance for peace.
Are you aware?
No!
They are going to turn on you.
They're animals!
Caesar, your home.
Who was that?
A good man like you.
Caesar, love humans more than apes.
If you threaten his family, he will retaliate.
Don't shoot! Don't you move!
Should we shoot him?
Maybe.
Oh, hey, whoa, whoa. Hey.
Oh, you want a drink?
Oh, hey. All
right. Easy.
Easy.
All right.
What are you doing?
I'm saving the human race.
Military! They're already on their way!
Caesar, you have to go.
Go where? This is my home. I'm sorry, my friend. War has begun.
Caesar!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pod of Dreams. If you listen, we will pod. We almost got my taglines mixed up there. So we're talking Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I picked this movie, so we'll do a little bit of table setting before looping in Eric and Kevin. Well, how are both of you doing?
Do apes set the table? They don't set the table. They just eat right off the ground.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Caesar definitely sets the table. It's actually whatever.
He's a good table setter. Okay. All right. Sorry.
See, John Lithgow has Alzheimer's and doesn't know how to set tables and even doesn't know how to use utensils.
Caesar, set table.
Caesar, yes, helps him out. Although I think he only signs in that movie. But yeah, Eric, Kevin, how are you?
Doing great.
Okay.
Thanks very good.
Eric's shaking his head. Okay. Congratulations.
Go to ape mode.
All right. Is it akin to beast mode, but just slightly different?
It's even better, yeah.
Oh, it's the neck notch. So Marshawn Lynch couldn't even achieve that mode. Okay.
He couldn't swing from a tree.
I don't know. Maybe he could. I think the dude's pretty strong.
He probably could, yeah.
I mean,
can't score a touchdown from the 1 yard line, but okay.
Well, not if you don't hand him the ball.
He probably would have. I would have bet on it.
Yeah, he definitely can't, though. If you don't hand it off to him, he can't do anything. He's just going to stand there. But Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I picked this movie.
It's a movie.
It is a movie, and it's a movie I picked, and I enjoyed it. It's a sequel to a remake, which was the second remake, because we had the Tim Burton. Does anybody remember the Tim Burton one from 2000?
No, I never saw it. But, okay, so you were about to set the table as Caesar. I thought Rise of the Planet of the Apes was in the same universe as the original Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes. Is that not true? So it's a totally different deal?
It's a totally different deal. I mean, it's taking concepts from the original Planet of the Apes. One of the things that happens at the end of Rise is like the simian flu starts to spread. But you see a newspaper article, and one of them is astronauts.
COVID.
Sure, astronauts lost in space. So,
which is Charlton Heston, right?
No, it's a different actor. They're not bringing Charlton Heston back. I mean, it's the same concept as Charlton Heston, but it's just not him. I think they just did a completely different. I said we're gonna just do our own thing and take the.
I thought they existed in the same universe. I thought that was supposed to be like Charlton Heston leaving, because then he gets lost, lands on Earth, and. Thinks he's on an ape planet, but it turns out it's actually Earth.
Well,
right?
That's what's happening, but I just don't think it has any actual relation to the Charlton Heston version of events, but it's the same concept. Yeah, eventually, if they keep making these movies, the astronauts will land back on Earth and the apes will be fully in charge and all that stuff will happen, I think. But it's not. I don't know that it's Charlton. Does that make sense? I mean, it's again, it's the same concept, but the writing is very different. No, it's fine. I like this movie a lot, but I like the concept. Rise is a messy movie. It's the first one. It's really clunky. There's all sorts of weird stuff in it, a lot of logic leaps. It's goofy, and it doesn't quite work all that well, but I like the idea. I like the concept of taking... Here's Planet of the Apes, this movie that came out in 1968 and has a bunch of really awful sequels involving paradoxes, and they get like cheaper and cheaper and shittier. There's like five of them, I think. Maybe more.
I think there were like eight or nine.
Oh, see? I'm underplaying. Yeah, I mean, they just made a bunch of them. And there's all sorts of interesting ideas there, but they didn't execute them very well. And instead of messing with all the time travel and paradox and starting like way far in the future, we're going to set it in present time, and we're going to sort of see the deconstruction of the human civilization and the rise of the planet of the apes and see it happen. We're going to reverse Nolan it, if you will. Like, we're going to just go in order, and we're going to see how it plays out. Rise didn't really work in... it didn't work mechanically, I don't think, but then and the War of the Planet of the Apes is the third one, and I've got issues with that, but this is the one I think not only is it an interesting idea, it's also executed the best on a technical level, on a story level, and I think it works on all kinds of different ways. And I wanted to revisit, because Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming out at some point, I assume this summer. I saw it on HBO Max and decided I wanted to revisit it. It's been a decade. Actually going to swing over to you, Kevin. Have you seen
swing
any
over,
of the new ones?
Like an ape from a
branch?
Oh,
you caught me. You caught me. Okay. Well done. Pun intended, sir.
Ben podcast, good.
Trying to do a nice little segue. Going to pass the banana over to Kevin. You hadn't seen this movie? I think I
hadn't seen this movie. I bought it about 8 years ago and planned to watch it, but never did. So I finally did watch it. But I watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And it was a good movie, but some of it was a little silly. I thought the Draco Malfoy character was a little bit cartoonish in how much he reveled in mistreating the apes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But.
Then there's all these plot leaps, like the fact that the people didn't know that Caesar's mom was pregnant with him. It's like. You guys are testing this pharmaceutical stuff and you don't realize that this chimpanzee is pregnant, and then you're surprised. Okay.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's a tough gap in logic, but yeah, I'm with you. It's clunky, but okay. So you watched Rise in preparation for this and you saw Dawn. I assume you didn't watch War.
No, I have not watched War of Planet of the Apes yet.
Okay. How many of the original run of Planet of the Apes have you seen?
I've only watched the 1968 version, original.
Okay.
And I thought that was very good.
Okay. Well, before we get to Eric, so you haven't seen him for what? Well, guess high-level thoughts on Dawn, Planet of the Apes.
A very impressive sequel. Sequel that was better than the preceding one. It's the way sequels should be made. It opened the door for another sequel, but yet it was a full and complete movie in itself.
Okay. Agree. Fully agree so far with all that. Eric, you on the other hand did see this movie, not in the theaters, but you saw it. a decade ago, approximately.
Yeah, didn't see it in the theater. I think this is one of the last like Netflix DVDs that I watched.
Ooh.
If I remember the timeline, it might have been right around then. And I remember like I think I watched the first one and this at the same time, or like, you know, consecutively. I like the first one. That's like a pet movie. It's like about a pet. It's like about a man and his pet, sure. You know, and falling in love with his pet and all that.
And having unholy interactions with his pet, you know, because he loved the pet.
Whoa,
so much.
I don't remember that part. Did they get busy?
No, they fell in love. You're right. They fell in love.
Franco get busy with Caesar?
Yeah. Oh, you seem to
Caesar love human
relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I watched this, and it is a this is definitely more like a blockbuster franchise action movie.
Yeah.
And I you know, I remember originally really, really liking it. This time around, I have to say, I don't think I liked it as much.
Okay.
And I think, you know, it's definitely like a really well made, like, could you have made a better version of this movie? I don't know. I don't think so. Probably not.
I don't. Yeah.
I think it's a Matt Reeves problem for me.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, he is so meditative, right? We were just talking a little bit, I don't know if we mentioned this before we recorded, about Denis Villeneuve, right, in his movies, how it's, like, just visually, and it can kind of make you a little sleepy. Like, I totally get that. And I think Matt Reeves is very similar in that way, and there's just sort of visual sequences where we're in the jungle and we're watching the apes kind of be apes and live their lives and sign with each other. We're just like, I got a little sleepy a few times during this movie. But I think the action is really well done. I think once the fighting starts, like there was a sequence, I can't remember exactly. I think it was when Koba fight human, when he attacked the compound, that the humans come out with like a, and I'm jumping way ahead, but they come out on a tank, and there's like a scene where the tank turret is spinning around, and the monkeys, the apes are like, you know, attacking it, and they're shooting the apes as it spins, and the camera is like spinning, and it's like, wow, that is like super cool. But it goes on for so long. I'm just like, oh my God, let's move on to the next piece of it. I don't know. I think it's, like I said, it's best version of an ape movie, of a Planet of the Apes movie that you could make. Because War is forgettable. I actually don't even really remember much of
it. I only
movie.
Remember it for one of its contrivances, which I won't get into here in case Kevin ever wants to watch it. But it does a lot of the same stuff that this movie does, but not as well. And there's some stuff like about it, but
this movie has a problem with a lot of movies like this. It's a human problem. I don't give a shit about the humans.
Well, you're not like, really supposed care. To.
I know, but that's a problem in movies like these. Like, why do I not care about the actual human beings that occupy the space of the movie? Like the kid, Jason Clarke's kid. Like, why is this fucking guy in this movie? Like, offers nothing. He draws some pictures. I suppose that you makes you feel a little bit for him, but I don't know. That was a piece that's just like, this could be, and it's too long, and you could cut that out. We don't need. And then you have the stupid human guy that shoots Koba's son or Ash's son or one of the apes.
Rocket's son. The ape's name is Ash.
He's just like like you said about Draco Malfoy. He's just like a unnecessarily mean, nasty human for no reason.
Well, it's not for no reason. There's all sorts of plot reasons, and we don't want to show every human is good. We're trying to show a contrast that
there's a lot
some humans
of plot
are decent
reasons.
And some are just like shitty. He's consistently an asshole throughout the whole movie. And you get some later scenes that I think they explain, yeah, okay, this is the type of person that would do that. But I mean, a lot of that stuff that you kind of think was boring and listless is stuff that I really liked. I think that's one of the contrasts here.
Most of the plot is about a dam. It's about firing up a dam that didn't work. Like, that's really the
electricity is important.
That the whole thing is about technology and humans' dependency on technology and the apes' lack of it. I mean, it's not really about the dam. The dam is a plot point. It's a thing that gets the humans up to that forest and gets them to interact, but it's not really about the dam. There's all sorts of awesome themes in this movie, which is part of why I love it. I mean, I love seeing the ape civilization 10 years in the forest and taking the time to develop them as characters. The humans don't matter for the most part. The humans are for their almost all plot devices. Good human, bad human, nebulous, in-between human. We get them, but this is
like Gary Oldman. Not... What? Why is Gary Oldman in this movie at all? Totally unnecessary.
Well, it's fine. I mean, he's the leader of the humans. There needs to be a leader. It could be if it's the other guy, then who's I can't even remember his name.
Jason Russ... Clark. I don't know his character's name. I don't know.
I don't know any of their names. His name is Malcolm.
Okay.
See, yeah, sure. He's forgettable. But he can't be the leader. There has to be conflict. There has to be an actual threat of the humans, right?
I mean, doesn't have to be.
In this movie, there is. Of course there has to be. This is what the movie's about. It's about a conflict between humans and apes and a stress test for this brand new ape civilization that wants to believe they're better than humans because they watched us fuck up the world, right? They watched humans fight and kill themselves and reduce their civilization to ash, basically. And then apes don't kill apes. We're morally superior. And that assumption is challenged and thwarted. It turns out apes aren't categorically better than humans. They're every bit as capable of vile, awful actions as humans. That's the whole thing. It's the first year. They go 10 years where they're small and they grow, but they don't have any more threats other than like bears, right? Like the bears, the other predators that they have to worry about. And then they encounter, and this could be ancient humans. This could be a human civilization 30,000 years ago coming across another human civilization, and they have to like figure out how to interact. Do I trust them? Do I not? It could be, you know, freaking the Spaniards coming over to the Americas and bringing with them their guns and their technology and smallpox and everything
else.
And
their ape flu.
Sure. That's juxtaposed, but it's not about the dam. It's about humans' need for technology.
Damn the dam.
Anyway, I don't know. I think it's way more interesting. I like seeing what the apes have done.
I thought that was important also to establish the apes as something that you should care about. So that, you know, you buy into their existence and you care about them and you don't want them to be hurt by the humans.
Yeah, Caesar's the most likable character in the whole movie.
Well, he has to be. It's his movie. Yeah. He's the protagonist. Yeah, it's ultimately his movie.
I guess that Andy Serkis, who does the motion capture and the voice, right? Unbelievable performance by him, right?
And the CGI, I think, holds up really well for a decade later.
It won an Oscar, right? Didn't it win Best Visual or was nominated for Best Visual Effects?
I have no idea. It could have won. I don't know. But, I mean, it was one of the first things we get after the very... So, I mean, we get the quick recap of Rise, basically, and it was very depressing in a post-COVID era. That's the first time I've seen it, and I was like, oh.
Very COVID-esque,
This hits way differently after COVID, all the stay inside and all that stuff. Yuck.
And then the jerk human guy's like, he blames the apes because of the disease, you know? It's like, boy, that is hitting hard here with COVID stuff, you know?
That makes me sick to look at him. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think if a simian flu ever happened, there would be guys like that, I think. I think there would be absolutely guys who would, rather than blame the scientists or any of the other abstract causes, fucking chimpanzees, pieces of, I mean, there's absolutely people who do
our
that.
Our former president called it the China flu, right? I mean, you know.
Right, so I didn't have a hard time buying that guy. He wasn't as extreme as Draco Malfoy, who's ostensibly caring for the chimpanzees at the preserve or whatever in the first movie, but... and it zooms in on Caesar's face, though. Like, that's the first thing. It's like, oh, man, that's very detailed. And the apes are unique and expressive. And the characters you need to be able to tell apart, you can tell apart. Koba looks like an absolute lunatic, and he progressively looks crazier and crazier as the movie goes on. Like, his just face gets more deranged looking. And Blue Eyes, you know, Caesar's son.
I feel like I'm the Koba of this podcast. You think... Kevin's the Caesar.
And I'm the forgettable human. Koba. I'm the kid drawing that is waiting. Yeah,
you're the kid drawing the picture.
God, why is he here? I don't need him. You're supposed to care about the apes. It's Caesar. The humans are, I mean, it's called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It's really about their moral struggle. And they have to deal with stuff that any civilization has to deal with. And I think, for the most part, characters make intelligent choices. Koba ends up being a sociopath, but he's justifiably worried about the humans. The humans have a lot of technology, and if the humans have access to electricity, they potentially have access to more. It's not Koba makes good points before he just loses it completely, but Caesar, Koba doesn't actually care about apes. What?
It didn't make any sense to me that they had no knowledge that the humans were that close, right? Because I mean, they hadn't seen humans
in a couple of winters or something.
How is that possible?
Why would humans have gone into the forest for 2 years? I mean, why would they want to do that? Why would that be a human thing to do?
Well, the apes would have been able to see fires. There'd be some signs of life down there.
Well, there weren't any lights, right? The lights were off.
No, but they would have fires. I guess maybe you're led to believe there just aren't that many humans, right? I mean, there's that compound was maybe, what, 100 people, 200 people?
And it was relatively new. They had taken a while to gather that many people and create a rallying point and find people hidden in little tiny pockets all over.
I guess. Okay.
But if you can't accept that plot point, I guess I think you probably have a deeper problem with the movie, because I think that's pretty forgivable. Like, they just did. It literally says we haven't seen any humans for 2 years.
But the humans had cars, right? They had gas. They could drive.
Right? For about 8 years. I mean, like, they had 8 years where they saw signs of humans.
No, this is 10. I mean, they drive out to the forest, like, in a Jeep.
But I don't think they had any reason to until this point. I mean, that's the whole thing.
But they would have had gasoline. You can't power generators on gasoline. I don't know.
They did power generators on gasoline, but I don't think they lit the side. Whatever. You think the apes would have known that there were humans gathering in there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, fine. I don't have a problem with that. CinemaSins.
Half star.
Eric does it. Good job. But the whole thing is, the movie's so tense because things could go south in any moment. You feel every interaction is very tense. Everybody's anxious. Everybody's got the, like, tribal part of their brains. Like, this could go, what do these people want? Anything could happen. And it creates high stakes, too, because we do care about all of the, I mean, even Koba and Caesar's relationship. It's like Shakespearean. Literally, the guy, his name's Caesar, and his best friend shoots him. I mean, it's like straight out of the play Julius Caesar, right? I mean, isn't that a Shakespeare play?
Sure is. Yeah. So, Brutus. So, isn't Brutus the one that stabs in the back?
Yeah. So I would bet that in the reviews of when this movie came out, there was probably E2 Koba was probably in some reviews, I would guess. Some very clever critics. But yeah, it sets up the action really well. The stakes are really high when it happens. And it gets depressing when you see Ash, who shot at the beginning of the movie by the dopey guy. Well, Ash is killed straight up by Koba for not wanting to murder a human. I mean, it all ties together really well. I don't know. I'm pausing because I've been talking a lot. I can say a lot more in defense of this movie, but I think it works on a lot of different
levels. No, I like it. If it sounds like I'm saying I didn't like the movie, I really did. I just think this time around, I was maybe just more poking holes in it than just enjoying it. And those are the things that I think distracted me from liking it more. It's just, I would have liked to see, you know, more life in the human characters, more reason for them existing than just sort of being there for plot reasons, or just make the movie straight up just apes the whole time. You know, forget the humans and make it just be this. I mean, the sequel's more of like humans versus apes in a war. I'm saying, like, focus more on the tribe versus tribe, ape versus ape battle. I don't know.
Maybe. Apes? I mean, I think we want the contrast, though, between humans and apes, right? I mean, humans need the technology. They're trying to get back an old version of how they used to live. They're desperate to do that. They're remembering an old way, even though that, like, it's done. I mean, the human's peak is gone. They're now just, you know, trying to eke out a life amidst the rubble. And the apes don't need the technology. They're using wooden spears. And they're stronger and faster. I mean, a gorilla, an intelligent gorilla would be able to waste any human one-on-one with just hand-to-hand combat.
Well, a silverback, man, that thing would pound your face in.
Yeah. But we also see them having to reconcile with stuff humans have to do, right? So you think, okay, you're apes, you're starting from scratch. How would you do it better? Well, they have a rule, apes don't kill apes. But that ends up actually, ironically, causing lots of apes to die, because if Caesar had just murdered Koba, there'd be a lot more apes alive.
So I think one of the coolest scenes in the movie is when the humans hear Caesar talk, and he's like, go! Yeah. Like, I think that's a really cool and really well, and how freaked out they're like, did that thing just fucking talk? And then they go, they're back in the car, and the one guy's like, no way, that didn't happen. They talk to Gary Oldman. He's like, you're imagining it. Like, if I didn't hear it or see it, I would think I was too. But, like, so does Caesar, because in the original, this is what I was kind of confused about. In the original movie, they're testing these drugs, right, which make Caesar intelligent.
Yeah, does there's Alzheimer drugs, yep.
Right. Does he give the drugs to all the apes then?
This is one of those clunky Rise thing. He gets an aerosol and he like sprays it and it wakes them up and makes them conscious. I don't remember the guts of it. Kevin would know
all those thousands of apes that we see in this, they've all been sprayed with this compound?
Well, some have been born. The offspring.
So it changes their genetics so they can speak and okay.
Yeah, but I like how the movie.
We only ever hear Caesar and Koba talk, right? Do any of the other apes actually speak?
Maurice, the like orangutan, does.
Yeah, the orangutan does, and I do think Blue Eyes.
I thought he made just noises.
He mostly does. It's all right, but he speaks once. They're really judicious when people talk. You're right. It's mostly Koba and Caesar. Right when after Koba has shot Caesar to set up the humans and create the pretext for war, the orangutan says run to the humans.
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah.
It's just one word.
Straight out of Minority Report, yeah.
Like, so they're very impactful. I don't remember Blue Eyes talking, but maybe he did. I don't remember him doing that. But I mean,
Blue Eyes is Caesar's son?
Yeah, yes, correct.
Doesn't Caesar's wife talk too? Seem to remember that happening.
Maybe I remember her signing because she's mostly just sick the whole movie until she gets the antibiotic scene. Like,
she's the only woman ape in the whole movie
too. That we see. There's other ones wearing head garb that are just, you know, side characters who don't matter.
So this wouldn't pass the ape Bechdel test? Would it fail the? Is there an ape specific?
It would absolutely fail the ape Bechdel test. Any kind of yes, the female character can definitely get short shrift in this movie.
Carrie Russell's the only real female character in the whole movie.
Yeah, and all she says is Malcolm.
She says Malcolm a lot, yeah.
And she says, I have antibiotics. Let me help. But that's part of the contrast, right? Humans, technology ultimately ruined the world, but it created antibiotics, which saved Caesar's wife's life. You know, there are trade-offs. There's this contrast between technology and doing things in an egalitarian way. That's there throughout the whole movie, I think, and power and structure in government. I mean, they have a minor dictatorship, right? Caesar's in charge. He's basically a deity at the end of the movie, but you have one person in charge. You kill him, somebody else can just be in charge. And Koba takes the reign, and he's a horrific tyrant. And all of a sudden, you have this like lunatic who's in charge. This is a problem humans have had for their entire existence. If you have just one person who's in charge.
No, I think we've had only good leaders, really.
You can have lunatics. Well, it's a problem. They don't have a jail. They haven't had to worry about this stuff. But then the arrival of the humans, it puts everything about their idyllic society to the absolute test.
So Koba just wanted to eliminate humans? He just wanted to kill them all? He really had no plan beyond that?
Well, he wanted to jail them and make them suffer like he did.
Yeah.
It's revenge. Like, he resents them because he was horribly abused, and this is where it makes Rise a little bit better, because his backstory there is
is Koba in that? Is he in Rise? Okay, yeah. I guess I didn't remember that.
He's tested at the facility where James Franco works, and he helps
Caesar. So it's all James Franco's fault. It really is.
Sure. That's fine. We can blame him and nobody else. But it works him, because you understand why Koba hates humans, but then he's also just a sociopath, because he doesn't actually have the ability to have empathy. All he has is rage and resentment, and it just gets let out when he sees the humans, and the apes have enough military power and numbers to be an actual threat. You know, early on, they just kind of hide out in the forest, then humans destroy themselves. The action is great. I mean, the invasion scene is really incredible. The explosions, and it looks great, and it's San Francisco, and I think they shot some of the scenes in actual San Francisco, and it's great. The fight at the end with Koba and Caesar is top notch.
It was a little Marvel-esque and, you know, CGI blob fight at the end of the movie, but like I said, this is that sort of this movie of all of them, I think, is that perfect example of like a blockbuster movie that's done pretty well. You know, like a franchise blockbuster movie that's done well, because there's not a lot of them.
No, I agree. Yeah. It's part of the reasons I like it. There's a lot of ideas. See, and I think it works a little bit better. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of like falling stuff at the top of that tower, but Koba and Caesar are having dialogue exchange, and there's emotional and real relevant stakes that I cared a lot about. And you know, he's goading Koba. Koba belongs in cage. He's trying to, you know, it's because they spent so much time investing in those two's relationship, the fight at the end, it just has a lot of impact. I don't know.
Sounds like you're kind of going with Koba in this whole thing. Like you.
No, he's a sociopath.
He had some good points.
He had some good points, but it turns out he's a sociopath.
Would Koba have stormed the Capitol, you think, January 6th?
Yeah. Koba's looking for any reason to be able to just murder. I mean, he just wants to kill. Can he come up with
a pretext? Was Koba there? Do we know?
I guess we don't. We don't have his
whereabouts. I think he took a dump in Pelosi's office.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's going with the poo-poo. It's Koba all along.
Chim style, yeah.
Well, yeah. I was thinking about sequels, and there's very few sequels that are this much better than the movie it came off of. So Rise was, I thought a 3-star movie.
Yep, agreed.
And this, and I'm thinking like Terminator 2 was a big step up from Terminator.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of the Marvel movies. I don't know if we should include those, but I thought Winter Soldier was a big step up from First Avenger. Ragnarok was a big step up from Dark World. But very rarely do you see a sequel that's this much better than the original.
Ghostbusters 2 is way better than Ghostbusters 1.
I don't know. Well, Gremlins 2, maybe?
And then the Paul Rudd Ghostbusters, even better.
Never seen it. Caddyshack 2, way better. Get rid of that dead weight, Bill Murray. Don't need him.
Oh, my God.
But you're right. It takes the base story from the first one, and it just makes a better movie, like, all around.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's not even close. It's like, yeah, all that clunkiness that you have to tolerate in Rise, which is kind of awkward. And, yes, a lot of James Franco and the CGI Caesar and sad John Lithgow, who's losing his mind. It created space for this, I think, really compelling story. I think for the most part, people act smartly and are making logical choices, and there aren't really too many stupid characters. The characters who are stupid for valid reasons, I think.
Now, is that the same John Lithgow from Buckaroo Banzai? Are they in the same universe? Is this a shared universe with Buckaroo Banzai?
Yeah, he's that weird alien guy, and he just happened to survive in the ninth dimension again and came back out in 2011. And then fathered in a time portal Veritas. It's hard to explain, but ended up fathering James Franco, who's also a full-grown adult at the same time.
Wow.
Very confusing. Yeah, same universe for sure.
Eric loves this conversation here.
You're just making me remember Buckaroo Banzai, and I'm not happy about that. Just how psychotic he was. Was he like Russian in that? Jesus.
He had some Italian accent.
He was an Italian guy because he did like a very goofy Mussolini speech, I think.
Yeah, version worst of that. Movie ever. But this was like a big hit too. It was the best selling of the franchise. I'm looking now. It was the eighth highest grossing film of 2014, which is crazy to think of, you know. And it was, I think, pretty well regarded from critics. Don't have the Rotten Tomatoes score here, but yeah, I enjoy it. 91% Rotten Tomatoes. So
That's not bad.
Yeah.
For a big blockbuster, that's very impressive.
Yeah, the biggest thing I was worried about was the CGI. I mean, yeah, there are probably a couple of story things. The one here, I'll give you a little story bit that stuck in my craw a little bit, Eric. They're the two guys who are testing the weapons.
Yeah.
One, they're aggressively dumb for reasons I don't think are particularly convincing. So they're testing the weapons, and Koba decides to pretend to be a stupid monkey. And even though these monkeys have came on horseback with like torches and talked, you're acting like they're just dumb monkeys and don't know. Like, first of all, stupid. But then when they get killed, They get killed the second time they have an interaction with Koba, right? They get duped again because they're...
He drinks the whiskey and...
spits it on him and takes the gun and kills them.
Johnny Walker, yeah.
I do think somebody would have probably noticed their bodies. I mean, I guess gunshots aren't surprising to come from that area because they're constantly testing weapons. So hearing some gunshots wouldn't necessarily cause... But I mean, I think people would notice that they're dead. I think at some point somebody would be like, where are those two idiots at? And it doesn't happen because they have to just... get excited about. I mean, there are all these little moments I like. I mean, when they're at the Phillips 76, and then
Don't know if Koba hid the bodies later.
Maybe he did. You're right.
That took them with him. The weight you're talking about when the weight plays.
Yeah, like you're just like. I mean, that scene worked because the weight. I've heard. You know, we've all heard that song a bazillion times. But if you imagine like society collapses and then you go like 10 years without hearing it. How incredible it would be to hear that song. I mean, any song, really.
But that's what I'm saying. They have gasoline. Why do they not have generators?
They do have generators, but they have to use them sparingly. They have to be very conservative.
Yeah, you can't even charge your iPad on those generators.
Okay. But you can have enough to take an expedition out into the woods for a thing you don't know is there.
Well, they knew the dam was there. They didn't think the dam was gone.
This should have been more like Mad Max. You know, we're talking post-apocalyptic. They should have the gasoline secured. Like, there's plenty of gasoline on the planet. If most people are dead, why would the resources have gone away?
It's like
90% of the population has died, right? Yeah. Think of how many resources would exist.
Gasoline isn't shelf-stable, though. Gasoline does go bad.
Yeah, isn't this a point in like The Last of Us where like a full tank of gas doesn't even last them that long because it's
right down
quality? Yeah. So the idea that they'd have enough gasoline 10 years in to run even San Francisco's got a portion of its normal capacity. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with that. They're running out of power. They need to reroute it to this dam that meant to go to the north. Okay, that's fine. It gets the humans there. It creates a reason, and every scene is tense for me. Malcolm, right? When Malcolm walks in to, you know, Ape Country USA, I mean, it's terrifying. You feel the tension. They could, at any point, a gorilla could just slap his head and bye-bye, and that's the end of it.
Because there aren't apes anywhere else, right?
This is currently the only population of elves.
Of apes.
Yeah. Right.
Their natural habitat?
Right, the normal non-sentient ones or wherever, you know, elsewhere.
Right.
But wouldn't the simian flu have made those apes intelligent as well?
I don't know that it was the flu that made the apes intelligent. I thought it was the aerosol, but maybe you're right. Maybe all chimpanzees everywhere, every, you know, ape that's not a human.
Because like in the Charlton Heston version, don't the apes like rule the entire planet?
Yeah.
At that point, yeah. But that's, I don't know how long in the future. Like, we're getting there eventually, right? We're seeing the apes as a fledgling society.
Do you know what the plot of this new one is?
I know it's set like 300 years after Caesar. And people
Yes,
300 years, and there's like a feral woman that they encounter, and she...
So it's kind of like a reboot totally of the series.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is they're going to just tell everything, but just in chronological order, right? So I don't know that the people from space are coming yet, but we're seeing a civilization has progressed for 3 centuries, and they want human technology, and they're all going to talk all the time now, right? They're not going to talk occasionally. And we see Caesar get more and more human-like as the movie goes on. Another thing I like about it
is... So it's going to be just apes. There won't
be any... No, they're humans, but there's a human that's like... above average intelligence, kind of like Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes. And I think the evil ruler wants to either suppress her, kill her, use her for whatever reason. I don't know. But they want to keep humans as these inferior animals that they just hunt is the goal. And a human challenges that assumption, and I think that causes plot stuff to happen. I don't know. But that's all I know. They did the trailer before I saw Dune Part 2 on Saturday. So it looks interesting. I like the idea that, like, okay, Caesar did all this amazing stuff, but they're going to forget who he was. And it's 300 years, and they don't really have great history books, so nobody knows who Caesar is, even though he is the sole reason apes are sentient, other than James Franco. That's interesting. I want to see where this progresses. I want to see the apes run into the same problems that humans run into. They're going to have to figure out how to structure their society, how do you punish people, how to create law, all these obnoxious logistical things that humans have been wrestling with for a long time, and failing and succeeding, depending on how you measure it and who you're asking. That's interesting to me. I like this whole conceit. The whole conceit works for me, even when it's clunky, even when it's Rise or War and it doesn't quite work super well. It's fascinating to me. And the CGI is always impeccable. Anyway, you should watch the trailer. Sorry, Aaron. Watch the trailer for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
It's a different director. It's not the same director anymore. Maybe it's Matt Reeves. Nope.
He didn't do the second one. He didn't do War, did he?
He did. Yeah, he did 2 and 3. So the first one wasn't Matt Reeves, and Reeves did 2 and 3. Fourth one got out of direction.
I don't know what it is about his. So he did Cloverfield, right? That was his sort of big break.
Yep. I've never seen it, but yeah, that's right.
Yeah, him and J.J. Abrams go way back. I think they developed Felicity together, which starred Kerry Russell.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
So then he did these movies, and then he did The Batman. And I recently rewatched The Batman. Boy, I just did not care for that movie.
I just don't think he likes slow pace. You need that action.
Everybody talks in very slow motion. Like, everything is the weird slow cadence and whispering. I just didn't care for it.
To bring him back to Marshall Lynch, you're all about that action, baby. You need that action.
Well, there's plenty of action in it. It just, I don't know. I want people talking like normal humans, I think, is my biggest problem. And the dialogue, name one line in this movie you remember. Like, nothing. There's no interesting dialogue.
In Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Right. Other than Koba.
Go.
Don't kill ape.
Oh, I disagree. I mean, there's no icon. There's no line like greatest lines in the history of cinema lines, but I remember plenty of the dialogue from this movie. It's simple. It's effective usually when it's there. It's a word. It's three words. Caesar just speaks more and more complex sentences as the movie goes on. Just Koba belongs in a cage is a line I remember because it's like turning the screw on his old buddy. Koba only learned hate from the humans, nothing else. I mean, there's all these little, I don't know. Yeah, it's not a dialogue-heavy movie. It's ape signing for the first whatever it is, 10 minutes.
Which is a feat in of itself, you know, that the majority of the dialogue in the first half hour is through sign language by apes.
Yeah. And I don't know, I think a lot of that's relevant. I mean, you see his son get hit with the bear and first kind of resent his dad for scolding him, and Koba kind of tries to win him over, and there's this tension, which way will Blue Eyes go? And eventually he realizes, yeah, okay, Koba is insane. I mean, all the characters that are apes seem to have a reasonable arc. The humans don't. The humans are just, again, they are plot points. I think we're supposed to identify with them just because they're humans. I think there's a little bit of that going on. Like,
yeah, which I did. I identify with Gary Oldman. Just wanting to blast away the apes. I mean, the shit that he's seen, seeing society collapse and all that, I mean, what's a few hundred monkeys to him?
Sure. And it's... Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
This is the blockbuster.
I had a question. So, sure. Kevin, you might not have listened to our podcast on Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but we had a very long discussion about whether or not you can find a cartoon attractive. Right? We had this whole debate about it.
Yeah, and my question is, that character, he kind of liked the Toons anyway. That was his backstory. He used to hang out with the Toons all the time. He probably had a little Toon fetish in him.
Sure. So is it okay to have, if there was like an attractive ape cartoon that you could, does that work, or is that,
does it need to be a cartoon?
Well, it's an animate. I mean, it's computer generated. Could they have had a hot ape? Would that have been all right?
Well, Judy Greer, she played Caesar's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of hot.
Yeah, I'm kind of into her, so. Transitive property.
Okay. Wasn't there in the original Planet of the Apes, or maybe it's one of the sequels, there's an ape who's in love with Charlton Heston?
He fall for an ape-esque human?
I think it's the other way around. I think she falls for him, and he kind of stokes the flames of that love a little bit.
So he leads her on a bit?
Sure. It's either that
is
or
that
get murdered.
Is that bestiality then? If they were to hook up? Is a sentient ape now? I mean, it's a different species, but.
It's a different species, but I don't know that it's a beast. It's not a beast, right? I mean, it's.
Right.
The apes can consent.
Sure.
What? Why are you so into this conversation?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
Well, oh, yeah. You're curious about it. Okay.
I'm just wondering.
What are the rules here? Is it cheating?
Yeah, I need to know the rules. Yeah. What if it's your ape? Is that okay?
Yeah, what if you save the ape from a lab?
Yeah,
you save the ape from a lab and it's your ape. I mean, it's your ape. Yeah. I don't think it's bestiality. Whatever you want to call it, fine.
Curious.
Because they are sentient beings who can choose who they want to copulate with.
Wait, and if they consent, okay.
So do you think we're going towards that?
Like a dog is incapable of consent. So
in Kingdom, do you think we're going to get a little human ape action?
If you wanted to make the story dark, you could have an ape raping a human. Sure.
Porn parody, right, with Planet of the Apes.
There's a porn parody.
Oh, you act like you don't know. He acts like he doesn't know. That's great.
Yeah, like if you typed in ape human in
just do that right now
Hub,
on your phone.
You know, what would come up?
Yeah, I guess that's sort of why I brought it up, because I remember there was something about Charlton Heston and a female ape, because they just, it was a woman, a human in like an ape costume, obviously.
Yes, a silly looking costume, right, in retrospect.
Yeah. But a little scantily clad, right? I mean,
I think she was like a scientist.
Was she in a monkey suit or like an actual monkey suit?
No, I think she was just wearing some weird like business suit thing.
I remember the line, something like if Charlton Heston says like if you can get me out of here, I could kiss you, and then she's like, but you're so ugly. So I don't know who is hitting on who.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I
don't remember. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Maybe I have the wrong memory.
I'm looking at pictures of her. Yeah, she had a lot of clothes on, but
yeah, I don't. This wasn't
what's under the clothes? I don't know.
You can find out, Eric, and report back next time.
Oh, wait, are they hairy? All the curtain match the drapes?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they figured out hair dye in this fur dye, I guess, in this future. Homework assignment for her.
Yeah, let's figure this out.
It's for the pod, right, Eric? It's for the pod.
Says Nova.
Honey, what are you doing? I've got
a primitive young mute woman. She was in the first two Planet of the Apes movies, played by Linda Harrison. So she was mute, apparently.
Which movie is this?
The original Planet of the Apes.
Oh yeah, humans couldn't talk. It was a revelation that Charlton Heston could talk. That was the setup of it. Like his throat is hurt at the beginning, so he doesn't talk and it heals enough. And that's when he says, "Get your paws off me, you damn dirty ape." And that's the first time they've heard a human talk ever. And it's a big.
Oh, so it's like the reverse of this movie. When the humans hear the apes talk, it's a big revelation.
Yeah, so there's a juxtaposition. There's a contrast. Yeah. But in the original Planet of the Apes, it's a race metaphor, but. I mean, here we're seeing that, like, okay, humans are often do these awful things. Are the apes going to do it better? And I think ultimately we're going to find that they probably don't. They probably run into the same issues. I don't know. You can find out what ape porn is like, what the ape sex work is like in the future. You know, clearly got to have it. But all right, I don't know that I have much else to say. I love this movie. I think it's really smart and engaging and tense. There is a few scenes here and there where like we linger in James Franco's house just a bit too long, I think. Like as Caesar's contemplating everything. Like, yeah. Okay, I don't know that we needed whatever 10 minutes it was of that. We could have shown some stuff there. Here and there, maybe occasional little clunky thing, but I think this is terrific. It's a smart blockbuster. It's really engaging. It's held up well a decade later. To me, this is a 4.5 out of 5 movie. Can't quite give it to 5 stars, but it's close. It's an excellent movie. That has aged gracefully.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you again, but yeah, 4.5 stars. It's got brains to it. I personally like the humans. I found them to be relatable, but also they spent enough time with the monkeys. I'm sorry, with the apes.
Yeah, they don't have prehensile tails, Kevin. Get it right.
Is Caesar a he's a chimpanzee, right?
Yeah.
They're great apes. So they spend enough time with them so that you end up caring about them and feeling compassion towards their cause. And even Koba, I understood where he was coming from, having been tortured by the and caged by the humans for so long, that his stance was understandable, even though he was psychotic. So overall, it was very affecting to me. I felt bad for the monkeys. I felt bad for the humans.
Yeah, you don't want the conflict to happen. That's the whole tension. You don't want it to happen. You're like trying to avoid it, and it becomes inevitable because of
Koba. Right, because of Koba and the real villain of the movie. So 4.5 stars.
Okay, so how about the damage, Eric?
I'm like 3.5-4 stars. Okay. Like I said, I liked the movie. It's not like I'm sitting here saying I hated it.
I'm glad you like it more than Speed Racer.
Yeah, that is for sure. I just, this time around, seeing it again, there were some things that distracted me from liking it more. I think, like I said, the lack of like any investment in any human characters except for just basic plot points. And the cast, too. I mean, Jason Clarke, I like him. He's great in Oppenheimer. He's good in most of the things he's in, but is he like a leading man? And I know Caesar's the lead, but you know he's the main human character. And
yeah, I thought he made a good everyman. You know, yeah. He didn't stand out.
He's just like that guy. You know, he's some dude in the movie that's pretty good. You kind of like him. You know, seems like a good man.
Bill Pullman-esque.
Yeah, very Bill Pullman.
Yeah, we don't need Brad Pitt in the role. I mean, we don't want somebody that charismatic, I don't think, but
I could have used somebody a little more charismatic.
I understand.
Yeah, and not enough chimpanzee boobs, maybe? Just kidding.
This was 2 boobless hours. Yeah. Thanks, Matt Reeves.
No, it's 3.5-4 stars. And maybe it's a Matt Reeves thing to me, too. I don't know. I'm not high on his fan list.
What did you think of Cloverfield?
It's okay. It was a forgettable found footage monster movie. With the characters, like, is he even Batman? Is there a character in that movie you remember or are excited to see again? He just doesn't do well with like creating actual characters.
Oh, see, maybe the exception to me would be this movie because I think Caesar's an excellent character. I think Koba's
Caesar's great. The CGI apes are good.
They're complex and interesting. I can see the point on humans, I suppose. He made me want to see the third one, and he made it. And the third one, again, it works, but not as well as this one. Not by a long shot. But okay, interesting. I didn't realize you were so lukewarm on the Batman. That's interesting.
I watched it again, and I was like, wow, I don't ever care to see this. My biggest problem is the villain disappears for like 45 minutes, and then it's like, oh, wait, that's right, the Riddler's in this movie. And it just, again, I it's one of those things. I thought it's like a perfect Batman movie for me, where it's like a detective movie. It's sort of noir-esque, but boy, I just didn't connect with it.
Okay.
All right, well, anything else you guys want to say about Planet of the Apes or just apes in general or monkey porn or whatever?
Well, we talked about the other monkey movies. I just wanted to talk about the Tim Burton version.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I meant to bring that up. God, speaking of forgettable.
Yeah, that was one of the worst movies I saw in the theater. It was awful.
Isn't it Mark Wahlberg the lead? Yeah. Okay. And that's just like a straight remake of
the very original.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's bad. I always forget about it. When I think about when Tim Burton started to go downhill for me, like that's part of it, but I always forget that movie even exists because it was
It feel Tim Burton-y at all?
In that it was slightly racist, yes.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it's not as weird and cartoonish as some of his
stuff. Tim Burton's slightly racist? I didn't know that was a thing. Okay.
Yeah, he's all white casts.
All the good guys are white, and all the apes, I think, are played by black people. So I think that's what Kevin's referring to.
That's no good.
And I didn't even remember that because it's all these goofy looking costumes, and they tried to turn it into more of an action movie.
So I can't like Beetlejuice anymore? That...
No, you're not allowed. There is a squad of people, if they hear you say anything positive about Beetlejuice, they will come and they will arrest you. So yeah, I wouldn't say anything positive about Beetlejuice. How are you?
Well, at least don't say it three times.
Oh, very good. But yeah, you want to see a bad version of an ape movie, watch Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. Turned into a dumb action movie that's awful. It's awful. I can't even remember a single thing about it.
And Mark Wahlberg's never had any problems with racism in his past, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, did you want to spend a deep dive into the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes, Kevin?
Well, that was it.
Just wanted to acknowledge its awful existence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't see that.
Don't watch that one. All right.
Yeah. Yes. Watch Dawn instead. You'll have a much better time.
Well, do you guys want to go over which movie we're watching next?
Let's do it.
All right. So I'll give you some clues. Feel free to jump in at any time. Okay. First clue.
Is that a clue?
This movie was released in 2023, last year.
Yes, that was last year. Thanks.
Yep. Unless you jumped in a spaceship and crossed time and space, that was last year. Okay, so no guesses. You don't want to just guess what movies came out last year? No, that's fine. You don't have to guess it.
I'm not gonna do that. Sorry.
The
Rebel Moon.
The director of this movie is not from America.
Okay.
Was not born in America.
But he came to America?
No, I mean he's just not, you know, not a American born filmmaker.
Okay. He's not one of us, got it.
Right. Like Werner Herzog or something.
Not him, but correct.
Okay.
All right, so this movie, let's see, it's nominated for 11 Academy Awards.
Okay. No, never mind. Your second clue precludes that guess. What all is nominated? It's not Killers of the Flower Moon. I don't know.
Barbie? Are we watching Barbie?
Nope. So this movie stars three former superhero actors. Three actors that were stars or part of a superhero film at one point. No? No guess?
Is it Oppenheimer?
No, it is not Oppenheimer.
Okay.
This movie is nominated for Best Picture.
Okay.
At the Academy Awards. Which airs, I don't know when this podcast will go up, but it's the Academy Awards are this weekend. No guess?
No. I don't have the Best Picture nominees memorized.
Don't have it memorized yet.
We've hit the three that I would have guessed are not it.
All right, so this movie stars Mark Ruffalo and Willem Dafoe are in this movie.
This is Poor Things?
Poor Things is correct, yep. So this movie, Poor Things, is being released on Hulu and I think Disney Plus on Friday.
Disney Plus is getting Poor Things?
Well, I think there's a tab on Disney Plus that allows you to watch Hulu stuff.
Oh, okay.
So if you have... I think
from what I know about the setup of this movie, this seems very not Disney friendly.
Right, which is kind of funny that I think you can actually watch it on Disney Plus, which is funny. So yeah, Friday the 8th, March 8th, yes, Friday, it will be available on Disney Plus
or Hulu
to watch. So
sounds good.
Yeah, so I thought with the Oscars coming up. I've never seen it. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. I thought it'd be interesting to talk that and talk Academy Awards.
Sounds good. The most important award ceremony in the history of the entire universe.
Yeah.
They never did win. They never go wrong. So
it won Best Picture, Musical, or Comedy at the Golden Globes. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture.
From what I know about the setup of this movie, it's too weird to win Best Picture.
Sounds weird, yeah. So that's what we'll watch.
I think your guy, Christopher Nolan, is due, so I think it's going to be Oppenheimer, so we'll see. I guess we'll find out.
I thought about picking it, but I didn't want to have the gush fest, so.
Oh, do you want to put a wager on it, Eric?
On Best Picture? Yeah. I'll bet on it. It's winning for sure. That's easy money.
Oh, okay.
See, unlike Dunkirk, this one, I think it probably is going to. I think it's.
It would be a shock if it didn't, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Like Dunkirk, which had no chance whatsoever.
It should have won. What's the difference between Dunkirk and Oppenheimer?
The content of the movie. First of all, a war movie versus a movie about Billy and Tom Guam in a biopic, sort of all at once. And the field, and how much time has passed. How many movies Christopher Nolan has made. All those things have changed. But yeah, all right. Excited to watch Poor Things on Disney Plus. Watch it with my kids.
Mm-hmm. Watch Wreck-It Ralph and then watch Poor Things.
Sounds like a great double feature. And then maybe we'll have some time for Spy Kids too.
Yep. I honestly thought about picking another movie with apes in it. I thought we could just go straight ape.
What would you go with? Like Surf Kong Skull Island or something? What would you do?
Godzilla v. Kong we could do. There's plenty of options.
And there's that new one coming out where Godzilla and King Kong team up to fight a bunch of other monsters.
Congo? Do you remember Congo?
Of course I remember Congo.
Those white gorillas?
Yeah.
Ugly woman.
We could just go straight apes, yeah.
Oh, I loved Congo in 1995 or whatever.
You know, it'd be great if some sort of ape pops up in Poor Things. That would just be incredible. Yeah,
then we'd keep the streak alive.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to anybody out there that's listening to this in ape world. You know, after the COVID swine simian flu takes over, our podcast will just live out there. You think some ape might listen to it at some point?
I hope. I hope. With all movies deleted, they have to rely on our, like, disjointed, non-logical, non-linear description.
What we listen to this week. And then they get to the sequence where we're doing ape movies and they just lose it. They go ape shit.
There you go. You got that.
There.
Oh, you found the joke, Eric. All right. On that note, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.